another beautiful episode of Legally Judgy. I am Alexa.
And I'm Nicole.
Wow.
That was me coming in upbeat.
That was real chipper.
Have you ever seen? Okay, I'm getting distracted. It's too soon for this.
What? What did I see?
What was that movie? How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days? Duh. Where the girl who worked for the magazine was like something, but upbeat.
Yes. Is that what you were channeling right now?
Yeah. I was trying to be her.
White girl upbeatness.
Yep.
I like it. That was good.
Okay.
All right. Now that we got.
Let's dive in.
Over the pleasantries, we got some announcements.
Yes.
Judgy announcements. As everybody should know by now, we have launched a Patreon. So if you want more of us, uncut episodes, our personal intros, for example, if you want to know what happened to us this week, go on to our Patreon. Go sign up. We also have some community hub stuff that's really fun. Behind the scenes, pictures, videos. We have extra polls there. We have Q&As that are personalized and prioritized. So go interact with us. And we have some fun mini-sodes.
All so the fun.
If you want some more legal analysis from yours truly and my good dear friend, Nick Hull, go check it out.
Yep. Well, we also have to shout out our new patrons who have joined us for the fun. So shout out to Sari, Amy, Kim, Jordana, and Nicole.
You're an idiot.
I was good. I'm shouting myself out, y'all.
You signed up for our own Patreon.
I signed up for our. I like to just see how, like, you know, how the meat's made. Is that what they call that?
The sausage.
How the sausage?
I believe it is the meat. I think the animal just grows. I think that's how the meat's made.
I like to see how the sausage is made. So I wanted to sign up.
You're in our mid-level tier. I think you need to up it to the top tier so you can learn a little bit more from Legally Judgy.
Whoopsies. Well, anyways, shout out to our new patrons. We're so happy that you guys are joining us. We hope that you love the content. Of course, you guys should know that there's like a special messaging function. So feel free to shoot us a message if there's anything you want to hear about or know about. And we'll, you know, tuck it in our little notebooks.
Please. We also have a really exciting YouTubes.
Yes.
We've talked about this before, but go check it out. We have a really fun Halloween edition. If you want to see us dressed up as certain Real Housewives of Bev Hills, I highly recommend.
It was good. It was a fun one.
It was a hoot.
It was a fun one.
I love dressing up like Lisa Rinna.
I know.
I feel like I really rocked the do.
You really got into character. It was shock.
I'm an actress. That's what you need to know about me.
Oh.
I'm a chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I am excited about today's topic for more than one reason.
Yes.
Can I say that?
Yes.
Not only because we're talking about Riri,
yep,
which is amazing, but yes. I'm just going to call it out. We're doing something a little bit different in this episode. We're going to try to change it up. Instead of talking about, you know, when we have musicians, we talk about, and then they had this song and then that album, which, let's be real, can be fun, but a lot of us know that already.
Yep.
Now we're going to dive into her business empire.
Yeah.
How did she get to where she is wealth-wise? Because mm-hmm. she's worth billions.
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 We'll still give you a little, like, tasty taste of how she got to the billionaire status that she is at now. But, you know, we're trying to, like, broaden the episodes and the palettes and things.
Right. I think I told you, I was like, we don't need to get into J-Lo's 12th perfume is what I said.
Also, like, if you don't know who Rihanna is, are you, I think you're in the wrong place.
Right.
You probably know who she is before you came to our podcast, if you're listening.
Let us pray.
Yeah.
All right. With that, do you want to open us up? Tell us a little bit about our girl, Riri.
Yeah. So Rihanna was born as Robin Rihanna Fenty in 1988 in Barbados. Her mom was an accountant and her dad was a warehouse supervisor. During her childhood, it's said that she sold clothes with her dad in like in a stall on the street, which is like, you know, like in the islands, you can kind of have like mini shops.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But she also had her fair share of childhood struggles. It's been reported that her dad struggled with addictions, including alcohol and crack, and that he also physically abused her mom, which Rihanna has said and others have said that she may have tried to break up some fights between mm-hmm. her mom and dad at points in time. But also, like, completely only related to her, Rihanna used to have these really crazy extreme headaches that were really frequent
mm-hmm.
and frequent enough to the point that doctors actually thought it was a tumor at one point. But it's worth noting that we saw at least it's that they may have kind of stopped, I think, once her parents split up and maybe some of the house tensions had gone away.
Stress headaches.
Yeah, which I get. Like. I get stress headaches. That's sad. So I feel bad about that. But then in her teen years, she was also an army cadet in a military program in Barbados, which is like so random and also so badass. I had never heard that before.
Neither did I. But I think that makes sense. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Why wouldn't you have run the military?
She's so badass.
Yeah, she really is. And growing up, music was always a passion of hers. You know, she was into reggae, hip-hop, soca, which I didn't even know was a genre of music before what? This.
You didn't know soca?
I'm not going to lie.
Stop.
Maybe I've heard it, but I've heard the music, but I didn't know that was the name of the music, if that makes fair. Sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm a nerd, especially with law school and being a lawyer. I feel like I mainly listen to classical because while I study or work, I can't listen to anything with lyrics, yeah, by the way.
You have told me that before.
Anyway, back to Riri, who really matters here. In 2003, she actually forms a musical trio with two of her high school classmates and auditions for this American record producer named Evan Rogers with songs from Destiny's Child and Mariah Carey, because who else would you want to audition with?
Beyonce and
me. I thought, props to you for using Mariah, right? Like, when you hear a Mariah audition, that's
confident.
You got some ovaries.
You feel strongly about yourself. Yep.
So sadly for her classmates, Evan was quoted as saying, "It was as if the other two girls didn't exist once Rihanna walked in."
Yikes.
So, sorry to those two, but hey, congrats, Rihanna. I think it worked out for you.
At least they know Rihanna.
Exactly.
That's impressive.
I hope they're still friends.
Yeah, same.
Maybe she,
threw them a couple million like George Clooney did with his friends.
I was going to say fly them out to some of her concerts, but yeah, why not? Couple mil. So after this, she's actually flown to the U.S. to record her demo tape, which included Pon de Replay and The Last Time. But she could only do this every now and then because she was still in school at this time. Mm-hmm. Though she'd later drop out at the age of 15 to pursue music full time. So she really hit the ground running. Her demos were sent out to all the big players, but it's Def Jam, where Jay-Z was president and CEO at the time, that ultimately wins out and signs her in 2005 when she was only 16 years old.
Crazy.
It's insane.
Sometimes when we talk about these celebrities and what they were doing at like various ages in their life, and I think about what I was doing, I'm like, this is embarrassing.
Yep. I was getting my driver's permit is what I was doing at that time.
I failed my driver's test the first time, so.
Did you?
Did. Couldn't parallel park.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a great.
I really struggled with it.
Can you do it now?
I'm a great parallel parker now. Ask everybody.
You would. That would be your origin story. You're like, when I was a child, I couldn't parallel park, but now.
I'm the best parallel parker ever.
Blindfolded. Fun fact alert.
Naturally.
So Jay-Z was actually initially skeptical of our girl Riri after listening to her demo. He was reportedly quoted as saying that he thought Pon de Replay was too big for her. But apparently it all changed once she walked through the door and auditioned for him, because they end up signing her to a 6-album deal that same day. They essentially kept her in the office until the wee hours in the morning, like 3 a.m., to get the deal signed so that no other label had a chance.
I like that for them.
Imagine Rihanna, imagine at 16 years old.
She's being held captive.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, if you want to phrase it that way.
Okay, fine. Sorry, you're right.
Yeah. I would just love to go on my first interview and have nailed it, which I didn't. Best Buy, I remember. You didn't hire me, so I had to work at Kohl's, but that has to be amazing for her.
Meanwhile, you've got Jay-Z, you can't go. You can't go. And you're like, okay, Hove.
Yeah, I'd be cool. 6 albums? Sure, why not?
Mr. Z.
That's a great proposition. Thank you. So Pon de Replay ends up coming out that same year in 2005, and it blows up, as we all know.
Yep.
It's an international hit, too. And her debut album, Music of the Sun, drops that same year, and it sells over 2 million copies worldwide.
So impressive for somebody who was relatively unknown before that song. Correct. Actually just unknown, not even relatively. No, she was unknown.
Yeah, I mean, maybe her local neighborhood kids.
Right. Well, so the rest of her music career is really history. I mean, she's obviously one of the best and biggest selling music artists of all times. Like a brief summary, she sold over 250 million records worldwide. She's had 14 number one singles, 31 top 10 singles in the U.S. She's gotten 9 Grammys, 13 America Music Awards, 12 Billboard Awards, and 6 Guinness World Records. And to top all of that off, as of this year, she has an estimated net worth of $1.7 billion, making her the wealthiest female musician and the second richest female entertainer, only to Auntie Opes.
Of course, your girl.
You know I love her.
It's amazing. I mean, it's truly incredible.
I love it.
And you know what I find intriguing too? It's like how some people are able to turn millions into billions, yeah. which we'll get into, yeah. but yeah. good for her.
She's a hustler.
Amazing.
She's a hustler.
We can't talk about her music career without talking about this infamous 9th album.
I don't want to talk about it.
You don't?
No, I hardly can't.
Are you exhausted? Like
tearing up. It's been so long.
So allegedly, she's been working on her 9th album since 2017. And in case you don't know, I was just going to say, it's the year of our Lord, 2021. Exactly. So it's supposed to be more reggae focused, if it does exist, than her old albums. But she has yet to release anything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people are begging.
Yeah.
Pleading.
Yep.
Asking, where is this album? In December 2019, she posted a cryptic message on her Instagram that she was listening to the album, but that she refused to release it. And basically since has continued to toy, or I think my good friend would say
troll.
Yep. Depending on who you ask, right? So I just don't get what she's doing.
The comments, when people were reposting her story and like showing the comments, people were literally losing their shit. They were like, bitch, at this point, like, what's right. happening? You're right. just playing games.
Right.
So I was like, no, I feel you.
I think she's just busy doing other things, which we'll talk about.
I get that. But if the album's done yeah. and we've been working on it since 2017, just drop that shit casually.
I wonder why she hasn't. Do we think it exists?
It definitely exists.
She's just holding on to it just because?
I don't think it's a priority for her. I don't know, I guess, but I
to your know. Point, though, if it's already done,
just drop it.
Just hit release.
Isn't I love when like she posts like other things and people are like, someone's new music coming. She's she gets like, so never. Annoyed. Yeah, don't ever ask me again. You're like, okay.
It's kind of sad, though. It's like people just want to hear more of you. Yeah. And you're just kind of mean.
Agreed.
Sometimes.
Well, so Rihanna is obviously much more than a musician. She's really been open about like her inspiration, her goals, and what kind of makes her go. And so she said that she wants to be the Black Madonna generally by like, you know, I think she idolizes Madonna for reinventing clothing and music and herself and staying relevant for so long. And mm-hmm, also looks up to Mariah Carey. Remember that she like originally auditioned with that MC song. Mm-hmm. And so she's also said that she takes inspiration from a lot of other singers like Janet, Aaliyah, Beyonce, Lil' Kim, etc. And that all of these women have kind of helped her shape her image and the different kind of music that she pulls from, which I think mm-hmm. makes sense, right? She's from the island, so she didn't necessarily right. grow up with the same genres that like were the main focus here. Mm-hmm. But she also really pushes boundaries, which I've always respected about her.
Right.
A lot of her music videos have explored some racy topics like addiction, abuse, and violence. And so a couple of examples, in Man Down, she shoots a man in the train station, and We Found Love, there's a lot of references drugs. To using drugs in Russian roulette, you know, like the game. Yep. She's basically playing that game with a partner, and people compare some of the scenes in that music video to the night where she was abused by Chris mm-hmm. Brown. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's worth mentioning, like, despite criticism from various groups about her image in these videos being too edgy, she was the first one to pass 2 billion views on Vevo, so it seems like
haters gonna hate, do it.
Pitbull said.
Hate her into her billions, yeah. really, is what this is yeah. about, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, she's also a huge fashion icon and inspiration. Some of my favorite Met Gala looks have come from Rihanna.
Right.
The Pope one was probably, she obviously wasn't actually the Pope, but that
Pope inspired.
That inspired outfit was yep. like one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And she's also looked at as a sex symbol. And so people kind of, you know, compare her to some of the fashion greats like Madonna and Michael Jackson and Prince. Mm-hmm. On top of all that, she's done some acting roles in Bring It On Sequel, Battleship, Bates Motel, Ocean's 8, etc. And plus she's really into philanthropy. So like, sis does it all.
But
it does not stop there.
Yeah.
It only gets bigger and richer.
I feel like you're really excited about this.
Yeah, you go first.
Thank you. She's also probably now I think of her as being a businesswoman, actually. Like, obviously, she's a singer.
For sure.
But she's worth $1.7 billion, people, if we haven't made that clear enough. So let's get into
Are we jealous?
Some of her business.
How many times will we say how many billion she is worth?
I equally am jealous, but also admire her, yeah. right? So I'm like taking notes, like, yeah. okay, 2015, she became a co-owner of Tidal. How do I do that?
Wipes her tears with dollar bills.
She's like, ew, a five, dirty. Ew, 100, gross. Okay, so 2015, it was announced that she became a co-owner of Tidal, which mm-hmm. is Jay-Z's music streaming service. Among other owners, Beyonce, we have to name her, of course.
Wifey for lifey.
Yes, Kanye, Madonna, Nicki. I mean, there's like 16 yeah. co-owners, I think, mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. And quick reminder, she's been working with Jay-Z since she was, what, 15, 16?
16, yeah.
So she's really part of the Roc Nation family, yeah. Jay-Z's entertainment company, yeah. Right? So 2016, she releases her eighth album, Anti, jointly through Roc Nation and her own album, Westbury Road Entertainment. Fun little fact, Westbury Road was the name of the area she grew up in as a child. So, cute
like
homage.
I say Anti. I feel like it's on...
is it Anti?
Now I can't even remember the word. Anti? It's Anti. I thought that was how you say it.
Oh, I don't know. Sorry, I'm not cool.
No, I get it. Because sometimes you say like antithetical. You can kind of, I don't know. I guess you pronounce it differently based on like what word it's attached to. But I think this one's anti.
Appreciate you calling me out. Thank you.
I just want to help you.
I need a lot of help when it comes to the coolness.
The music.
Yeah. I got a fun fact though.
Go.
In 2014, she left Def Jam to sign with Jay-Z's Roc Nation, which had entered into a multi-year partnership with Universal Music Group, mm-hmm. who distributes their music, among other mm-hmm. things. And that's just to show how she's surrounded by other entrepreneurs yep. herself, right? Yeah. So I'd imagine that a lot of her business inspiration may have also come from being close to Jay-Z and Beyonce
sure.
and like everything that they've created,
I
right?
mean, we talked about him, right, in that one episode with him and Jonathan Mannion. Like, he's got mm-hmm. so many businesses and endeavors. It's just wildly impressive.
And helps promote other artists
right.
at his company right. to do the same, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that he has like finance courses that he has everyone take
yeah.
to be more empowered about their own stuff, mm-hmm. which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So creating this label essentially gives Riri more ownership and autonomy over her music. She owns everything, all the rights. She can exploit them however she wants, and it allows her to sign other artists
yep.
if she wants to. And let's get to what we care about. She gets to keep more of the profits
yep.
as a result,
yep.
which is essentially fantastic because Anti, the yep. album, debuted at number one. It also helped that in 2015, she made a $25 million deal with Samsung, where they agreed to sponsor and promote the release of her album and the supporting tour in return for her promoting some Samsung Galaxy products. So I think not a bad deal.
I mean, I hate Samsung products and I would never own any, but if you're giving me $25 million to do my job for me, then...
I will own all the Samsung. I will figure
what
it
else?
Out.
What else? What else do we have besides the phone?
Yeah, I'm lazy, so that's why I go iPhone. But look, if you want me to be a little bit smarter about my technology... For 25 mil? Sure.
I mean, you can give me a flip phone for 25 million. I don't give a shit.
I'll take the Razor.
I'll do QWERTY. Remember the QWERTY razor? Boards?
We both, oh, God. Reminds me of a Gigapet. Let's like, that's a real TBT.
Tamagotchi?
Yeah. Oh, the Tamagotchis. Yeah. I had the Nokia, the brick. It didn't even flip.
Yeah. I had the pink Razor.
Oh, you were cool. I always wanted a Razor, even though I heard they broke quite easily.
Yeah. If you like sat on them funny, they were basically
well,
just cracked. So.
I'm sure if you sat on most tech, it fine. Would just, yeah.
Fair.
Anyway, go on.
My turn. Back in 2013, Rihanna actually trademarked her last name for a number of products. And so it really led to some early speculation that she'd be doing a beauty line, because I think obviously Fenty Beauty was like one of the names in the list of things that she had trademarked.
Mm-hmm.
So Fenty Beauty, she starts this line under / with LVMH, which is Louis Vuitton, Moet Hennessy, and they're like a huge empire of fashions and champagnes and things.
I think I've heard of them.
The luxury of all luxuries.
Louis Vuitton.
Yes. And so she starts this makeup line through their Kendo division, which is this incubator company under LVMH that manufactures cosmetics for sale through retailers like Sephora, which didn't know until this week that LVMH also owns, because apparently they own everything.
I had no idea.
But they own Sephora?
Yeah.
I was just like, how did I not know this?
That's like going to Vegas and finding out that all those hotels are owned by like two people.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how the rich get richer. Good for right. y'all. So LVMH allegedly paid $10 million to Rihanna to make this deal. Again, noting that she owns 50% of the company. So $10 million and 50% equity is not a bad deal.
I'll take it.
For a makeup brand that like nobody knew what it would turn into.
I would gladly take it.
But prior to this, she actually had a long-lasting collaboration with MAC, you know, mm-hmm. MAC Cosmetics. Plus, she obviously has a career that's super embedded in fashion and makeup. So, like, it's clear that she definitely knows the space. And so right. it was not surprising to most people that, like, she made this transition into mm-hmm. owning her own brand.
Right.
And so Rihanna has been very clear about saying that she created the brand to be really broadly inclusive for both skin tones and genders. And so she actually started, like, the line launched with 40 foundation shades, mm-hmm. many of which were for darker skin tones, and they now even have 50. But, like, it was, like, market mind-blowing when right. all these 40 came out, because so many brands had, like, 10 or whatever the case is, and you're like, do you see how skin different colors. People look? Like, that doesn't work.
Right. I saw a quote from a black woman who was like, I'm pale. but makeup doesn't account for black women who are pale. So where's my shade?
Yeah.
And how happy she was when this came out. Cause she was like, oh my God, a color that actually matches me.
Yeah.
And I don't wear makeup. Well, I don't wear foundation. I do wear concealer, but I never thought about that. And I was like, yeah, that would be so frustrating and sad.
In the few times that I got my makeup done, which is always at MAC because there was just a store close to me in New York and I couldn't do my own, they always had to mix like two or three shades to like find one that matched me. And I never really thought about it because I was like, oh, I guess everybody, you know, everybody's so unique that like whatever, I guess you mix and match. But like, duh, you should not have to mix and match every morning. So like, go you, Rihanna.
Yeah, that's expensive, right? So that means you're buying like you have to buy a couple. Multiple, yeah. And so yeah, it's more expensive to be a woman of color. Mm-hmm. That's shocking.
Yeah. And so Rihanna also said that she was trying to address, you know, for the first thing, gaps that she saw in the industry as a black woman and for other women of color, as well as like other, you know, just being gender inclusive generally.
Right, because they have makeup for men, right?
It's just makeup. That. I think she's just like, I just make makeup and whoever wants to wear it, wears it. That's true. You know what I mean?
She's real woke.
And then the second thing was she was really focused on making a reasonably priced makeup line that many people could access, because as most people know, makeup can get really fucking expensive for the good brands. And so she was like, I want to make a good brand that everybody can buy.
Right.
And then lastly, she really has focused on showing diversity and inclusivity in her advertising, as well as like her shows. And so you'll see, right, that she doesn't just have like the prototype model anymore. Right. It just represents like your everyday person who wants to wear makeup, which I think is incredible.
Right.
And then fun fact, they're also cruelty free.
Yeah. Which is amazing because a lot of brands can't say that.
She loves the animals.
Yeah. Real sweet.
Yeah.
And she times this launch very smartly with New York Fashion Week, where she was having her own show with Puma, because she does it all, people. And I have a fun fact for you.
Yes, tell me.
The promotion was so extensive that the New York Times wrote, one might be forgiven for thinking it's actually Rihanna New York Fashion Week.
It's always Rihanna Week.
Always. And the brand was named by Time as one of the best inventions in 2017, which... I guess great, but also, again, in the same line of what we were talking about, shocking to me that just having something that's accessible to diverse folks of different shades is a best invention.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird to think of it in terms of an invention.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, the white folk would think, oh, what an invention.
Especially because makeup has been around for so long. I'm like, oh, shit, it's crazy that it took this long for us to get here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Even if it was, like, out of greed, I think you'd recognize that you want to capitalize on this white space in the beauty realm, but here we are.
Some makeup artist was definitely, like, punching the air once this got announced. They were like, fuck, man, I could have been doing this for years.
Exactly. They recorded somewhere between 72 and $100 million in value the first month, which is crazy. At one point, it was even reported that in certain department stores, they were selling one Fenty Beauty foundation every minute and one lipstick every 3 minutes.
I do love her lip gloss.
Yeah.
So I'm one of those people who was just in line on day one.
Okay, good for you. Well, okay, and we've been saying this, but she really revolutionized the beauty industry. And after its launch, a lot of other beauty lines came out with more shades.
Yep.
But her line still seems to be the golden standard, right?
Yep.
Because other lines are not doing so great.
No.
We got Kim K. West. Is she still going by West? Kim K. West.
Yeah, she's not going to drop that name.
No, she's not. Thank you, Kanye. Tarte and Benefit have been criticized for not meeting the mark with inclusivity the way that Rihanna did.
Yeah.
And now, like we said earlier, the entire line has an estimated worth of $2.8 billion. So what I mean is, she's rich. And remember, she's a 50% owner. So you do the math, but it's clear that a lot of her estimated wealth actually comes from this particular business.
From Fenty Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Great idea, Rihanna. So it doesn't stop there. We got another business coming for you. Mm-hmm. In 2018, in partnership with Textile Fashion, which is a group that owns and does like Just Fab and Shoe Dazzle and Fabletics, Rihanna launches Savage by Fenty. I never know how to say the X.
This is where you don't say the X, right? It's Savage X Fenty.
Well, that's what it reads as, but like technically it's supposed to mean like a collaboration.
It is, but that's the way people say it.
That's so dumb.
Savage by Fenty, Savage X Fenty.
Savage X Fenty, she starts that, which is a lingerie line, which is originally actually an online-only brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so similar to Fenty Beauty, Rihanna built this brand to be inclusive, and it kind of, the lingerie comes in a variety of tones and sizes, and, you know, she really tries to, like, capture whoever might want to wear lingerie. And so she also uses models on her website and in her shows who are diverse in, like, shape, race, and ability. And in ability, I mean, like, she's, you know, she's had people with, I don't say disabilities, like that's not it, especially abled people or mm-hmm. differently abled people in mm-hmm. her shows to show that like everybody wants to be sexy. Everybody wants right. to wear lingerie. Like come here and you can get what you need.
Right.
And they even do men's undergarments and sleepwear. So like, you know, she's just really trying to capture it all.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact. Mm-hmm. Her entire pre-launch marketing occurred on her Instagram, and literally she didn't post anything mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. the Savage account. And the Savage account gained 17,000 followers in 24 hours.
Can you, Riri, if you're listening, can you give us a shout out?
Do you want to post us?
I'll take 17,000 followers in a year, by the way. It doesn't have to be a day.
24 hours, nope.
But I'll take,
more patient.
Take it.
Yep.
So it was pretty successful, I'd say. Within a month of the launch, the entire debut collection sold out. So she did pretty damn well. And the brand continues to build after her Savage X Fenty's first fashion show, after it closed out the New York Fashion Week in 2018, same year as the launch.
Yep.
People were really excited that she had models of all sizes and backgrounds, like you just talked about.
Yep.
And the brand's second show was also part of New York Fashion Week 2019, where they collabed with Amazon Prime Video so that they can air her show. And it's really cool. I say that I haven't watched it, but I hear it's really cool. It has a lot of behind the scenes
process. I haven't watched process. This year's, but I've watched some of the old ones. They're good. They're pretty interesting.
I've heard that they're really good.
I heard this one's actually really good. I keep meaning to watch it.
I actually tried to watch it before we recorded this episode, but I ran out of time, unfortunately. But smart PR, yeah. I have to say. Like, who isn't intrigued by behind... I love seeing behind the scenes stuff. I love to see how the meat was made, as my friend says. So I think, well done to you, Riri.
I mean, I also think it's fun, right? Because it's not just a fashion show. It's like a fashion show concert. So if it was just a fashion show, I don't think it would have any sellability to like a studio streamer. But because she's got her friends, legitimately, these right. friends that she probably just texts casually, she's like, hey, I'm doing a show tomorrow. You want to come?
Right,
roll?
Right.
Do you have about two songs you could perform?
No,
it makes it more interesting for people.
And especially in contrast to Victoria's Secret too, right? Because I feel like, do they still air that? I remember as a kid they did, but it's, I think, not
the last one's
big.
A couple of years ago, but that was also similar, right? Because it was kind of like a concert.
Yeah.
So like that was, what I think, part of the reason why people liked watching that on TV, because it wasn't just people walking down a runway.
Right, right. And it was just also, let's be real, stark contrast from Riri's super inclusive models and lingerie to primarily, Caucasian looking models in Victoria's Secret.
A lot of whom have come out in like recent times talking about just how toxic it was, like preparing for and being in that show. So
shocking.
You go, Riri.
Exactly.
Well, so we can't talk about her lingerie line without talking about how the pricing model works. So Textile uses a subscription-based model where you can sign up for a VIP membership.
Okay.
And it's a monthly cost of $49.95, which you can then apply towards any purchase. So basically credits, which have to be used in full to redeem them. So if you have like a, I don't know, let's say a $30 teddy.
Okay.
And you've got your $49 of credits. You can't use the credit against that because it has to apply in full.
Interesting.
So this VIP membership also gets you access to special perks like discounted prices when things come out, free returns, early access to certain releases, and limited edition boxes that allegedly, we'll say, Rihanna curates. And she's probably got a say in it. She's probably got a say in it, but that she's busy.
She's not coming in.
As we know, this bitch is busy.
Her cubicle 9 to 5. Yeah. She's like, okay, what do I got to curate today, guys?
And so it's worth noting, you can be a VIP member and skip the month by the 6th of each month and avoid being charged the monthly fee. This is already a lot to keep up with, and I don't even have said membership.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to follow. Keep going.
Stick with me.
All right.
You can also cancel at any time by calling customer service or trying to chat them online.
Okay.
Trying.
Let's
use that one.
Okay.
And you're also able to buy her lingerie without being a member, but you basically have to pay the full price so you don't get the discounted VIP membership price.
Okay.
Which, happens.
Okay.
So we went into detail on this pricing model because in February of 2020, a consumer watchdog group called Truth in Advertising filed a complaint with the FTC, which stands for the Federal Trade Commission. And they're a government entity that's basically charged with protecting customers from unfair business practices.
Okay.
And so this watchdog group accuses the Savage X Fenty lingerie brand of violating consumer protection rules, of deceptive marketing and luring customers into their membership program.
Okay.
Do you want to tell us what their claims were?
All right, I'll try. You got this, girl.
Okay. Thank you.
So they claimed that Savage was actually locking customers into that $49.95 monthly VIP membership that you just talked about. Mm-hmm. And they said that it was difficult to opt out of. People complained that when they try to cancel the membership, they had issues getting in touch with customer service on phone or in the chat. They said they would call a bunch of times, they'd get a busy tone, or they'd finally connect, they'd get hung up on. And in the chat, they said that they would have to, they'd be, you know, you're connected yeah. and then it would just disappear. And then you like have Delta to start
Airlines.
Yeah. I know how you feel about their customer support. And people just said like, they'd be on hold for 30 minutes plus.
Yeah.
Deceptive advertising. They said most of their ads include the discounted VIP price without any mention of the non-membership pricing or the membership price itself, right? That $49.95 in order to get the discounted prices. Mm-hmm. And they also said the membership program doesn't adequately disclose the terms and conditions.
Yeah.
And let's be real. How many of us read all of the terms and conditions when you're opting in and out of stuff? But apparently the big complaint was that in order to use that $49.95 credit, you had to use it in full, which you just explained to us, because I think Textile kind of took down the notes and made it more clear. But apparently this may not have been clear from the get.
Yeah.
So people were very confused and probably frustrated. I would be too.
I'd be so pissed off.
If it looked like I had pretty much a $50 credit, mm-hmm. but if I wanted to buy a $15 item, mm-hmm. I can't, because I need to at least buy $50 worth.
Right.
Anyways, they also said that when you select an item for purchase, the page automatically selects the discounted VIP price and adds the membership price at checkout. But people complained that it wasn't obvious enough.
You know, it's interesting, because when we were researching, I was looking at articles and like watching some YouTube videos, because the site has, you know, since been corrected, let's call it. And it was a little deceptive. Like,
you think so?
It was definitely a little shady. And I actually remember trying to order from there one time, and I was like, this is all like very wonky, but like, it's definitely, you can remove the membership cost if you catch it, and you could back then, but it was definitely like a little shady and wasn't the most clear. I mean, obviously, like if you've only ordered like $10 of products and you see it's 60 at the end, you're probably going to catch it. But the more that you're ordering,
right,
the more you're probably like, oh, it's like shipping and handling and all those bullshit charges.
Okay. Yeah, no, I get it. And they also said that influencers don't adequately disclose that their posts are sponsored, which has been a problem generally, right? But also for them, and or their connections to the company. Mm-hmm. Okay, fair, right? And I didn't find any update about this whole complaint, this investigation, but we're going to continue to monitor. It seems like we said that the website has gotten better though, because to your point, I was watching old snapshots and screenshots and videos of the old website versus the new.
Yeah.
And I do feel like it's pretty obvious. I went to the Fenty website last night.
Yeah.
And that's when they said, note, you have to use the whole $49.95 credit in order to redeem it, which I'm like, okay, you told me, but also that's kind of annoying.
It's still shady.
I don't really like that.
Yeah. Well, so as if this FTC issue wasn't enough, Savage by Fenty was also sued in June of this year, 2021, by the lingerie and swimwear brand called Adore Me. So they were sued this time. They've got so much going on.
Yep.
But, you know, it's fine. She's still a billionaire.
It takes money to make money, right?
Even if it's
to pay out.
Even through lawsuits. Okay, that's one way to phrase it.
I'm just trying to be positive.
So Adore Me sues the lingerie brand for trademark infringement and unfair competition after Savage used the line Adore Us in search and ads and search engines. And so as a refresher, right? Trademarks are generally words, phrases, logos, symbols, etc., used to identify and like distinguish a company's goods.
Yep.
And trademark infringement is when a use creates like a likelihood of confusion or association with one brand and another, or the expectation that the use is authorized by the owner. So the owner here allegedly would have been Adore Me, or they were saying so.
You just said a lot. So let me just remind our listeners.
Yeah.
Remember our Hailey Bieber episode?
Yep.
Where Hailey applied for trademark Bieber Beauty, but come to find out her beloved husband, Justin, who apparently they never talked, you know, she never talks to, had also filed a trademark years prior for Bieber Beauty. Mm-hmm. So you can't have two Bieber Beauties, because which is which? That seems pretty freaking confusing.
Or confusing.
Lil Nas X, we talked about in season one, the Nike Satan shoes.
Yep.
It looked like Nike was endorsing Satan, maybe. So, okay, got it. Confusion.
So that was the trademark part. So basically, Adore Me claims trademark infringement.
Okay.
On the other hand, they claim unfair competition. And unfair competition is any like unlawful, unfair, or fraudulent business practice or false or deceptive, like misleading or advertising. So what does all this mean?
Yeah.
Adore Me argues that Adore Me and Adore Us sound similar and that a consumer would think the two are affiliated and or that Adore Me had authorized the second one being Adore yeah. Us. And so all in all, they're basically just saying this is going to confuse our customers because apparently our customers can't tell the difference between Adore Me and Adore Us, but fine.
I love that their complaint had a screenshot of a Google search.
I love when people use screenshots in Adore their complaints.
Me. I love it. Love or like it. A text message, a DM. So petty. The judge is like, what's the DM? Because they're like 85. But they included a screenshot of a Google search for Adore Me, their yeah. company. And one of the search results, it was like the third one that popped up, was actually for Savage's Adore Us campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to say, well, look.
Mm-hmm.
When people go for us, they're going to see Savage and yeah. they're going to think that we endorse Savage.
Yeah.
It's insane, but sorry. I just love that
part. No, it's fine. I love a good screenshot.
Go on.
And so Adore Me claims this was ruining consumer goodwill and recognition that they had built up over the years of people, you know, figuring out who they are and expecting their brand and their logo, blah, 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 blah. My thoughts, I don't know. I think it's a bit of a stretch. Like I did see in one of the ads that it said, and like in one of the links, it said Adore Us dash Savage X Fenty, blah, 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 blah. Do I think it's a little odd that they would start the link in like the, in, you know, the embedded with an Adore Us mm-hmm, instead of mm-hmm. saying Savage by Fenty and mm-hmm. then Adore Us? So like mm-hmm. that was kind of funky to me because I guess a consumer would look at the first two words first and be like, oh, are they related? But I think it's a stretch. It's two very different sayings.
Right. And the second you go to, let's say I was looking for Adore Me, which, okay, they're a company, mm-hmm. right? They've made millions, but you're comparing it to Riri's lingerie company. I think the moment that I see Rihanna, mm-hmm. I'm going to go, this isn't Adore Me.
Yeah.
This is Rihanna's Savage, yep. right? Because you have to like confuse the consumer, right?
Yeah.
So they're saying that Rihanna's company is tarnishing their goodwill that they built with customers.
They're
if anything,
helping you.
I'm
welcome.
Thinking you're welcome because people didn't even know you probably existed.
Cut her a check. I didn't know they existed before we did this research. I was like, who?
Yeah, no. I think if anything, it's the other way around. And Agreed. A part of me can't help but be a little bit skeptical here that maybe they filed a lawsuit in hopes of, I don't know, maybe some PR. So publicity, a settlement.
Some monies.
I can't. It's not the same as like the Lil Nas X,
yeah,
Nike,
I mean,
Saint Shoe, right?
Yeah.
It's not the same as the Bieber Beauty.
Yep.
You have to, a reasonable consumer would have to think that they were the same.
Mm-hmm.
And for me too, I'm like, what damages do you really have? The only argument I could see for them actually is if maybe someone was looking for Adore Me lingerie.
Yeah.
And instead they saw Savage and they went, actually, I want that instead.
Yeah, it's definitely like a lost profits argument.
I would think that
best.
Would be a better one.
Yeah.
yeah. To say, hey, it's too similar. We're losing customers
yeah.
because people are going over there instead of over here.
But then also build your shit better. Make better lingerie, make better marketing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they had a cause for complaint, but the arguments don't. Yeah, I'm not convinced.
Well, so last month in September, before Savage could even file a response, Adore Me voluntarily, I can't talk, Nicole.
You almost had it, my friend.
Adore Me voluntarily dismissed their lawsuit. And we don't know for sure, but they probably settled out of court, which, you know, is usually the most frequent course of action when these things just magically go away.
Right.
But really, despite all these issues, Savage X Fenty was named as one of, oh my God, what's wrong with me?
You can do it.
Thank you. I'm the little engine that could. Despite all of these issues, Savage X Fenty was named as one of Fast Company's 10 most innovative style companies in 2020, which is impressive. Another accolade for her.
Yeah, I don't think that Adore Me lawsuit really faltered, huh?
Did not do anything.
Didn't do anything to them.
Waste of their time and money.
Yep.
And then in February of this year, they completed another round of funding where they raised approximately $115 million, which will reportedly be used to open brick and mortar stores in 2022. And so right. the brand is now valued at $1 billion. Another billion in the bucket. For Riri.
Another $1 billion. Congrats, Riri. Congrats.
Good. Nice to see you doing well for yourself, girl.
So as if all of that wasn't enough, in 2019, she starts Fenty Fashion House, a luxury brand back under LVMH. She's the first woman to create a brand for LVMH and the first woman of color to lead one, mm-hmm. which is amazing. And we have to, this is so noteworthy because LVMH typically acquires and revives existing luxury brands rather than launching new ones. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty key to what we're about to get into because Riri was only the second time they ever launched a new brand. The first one was back in 1987. Yep. So it's been some time. And so they acknowledged that they needed to figure out what was right in terms of offering and pricing. So they ventured into what they deemed aspirational luxury goods. This included sunglasses, streetwear-inspired items, and they planned to focus on direct-to-consumer sales and regular drops instead of the slower drops of typical luxury brands, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But the brand, unfortunately, really struggled, and people have speculated various reasons for this. So let's just name a few. So apparently price points might have been an issue, right? It may have been just too expensive for the demographic that Riri has typically appealed to. Mm-hmm. Like you were talking about with her makeup line, I think a big part of the success is that it's affordable for most people.
Yeah.
And when you get into luxury goods, that's just not the case. Yeah. So tees started at $180, joggers at $280, sweatshirts at $300, mm-hmm. and dresses up to $900.
Right.
And so the other flip side of this too is that consumers of luxury items usually stick to brands that they know and love.
Yeah.
Right. So if you are in the market for a $900 dress, you may not go to this new right. fashion house. You're probably going to go to your Dior or whatever you're into.
Girl, Dior is not hitting for $900, but God bless you.
What is it?
Thousands. Oh, for a Dior dress.
I shop at, I don't know if you've heard of it, Ross Dress for Less. God. That's my price
you're
point.
So extra. That's She's my such a price liar. Point. Go ahead. Just move on.
And then they also said that the pandemic made travel to Europe for design meetings difficult mm-hmm. and the pandemic in general, right? So people probably are not going to be shelling out hundreds of dollars during a huge worldwide pandemic. And then critics also said that the fashion itself just wasn't that innovative and it didn't really change much from drop to drop. And even that by dropping items more frequently, she may have actually lost out on the hype that luxury brands usually capitalize on with, let's say, New York Fashion Week, right? Where people get excited about it.
Right.
It was almost just, it was too frequent and too similar.
Yeah.
Seemed to be the thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to get the good cross between luxury and like exclusivity and price points. Like when I think of like a successful brand, I'm like Jerry Lorenzo, right? With Fear of God and Essentials. Like he's figured out how to do like a higher price point on literally joggers and sweatshirts while making them exclusive and dropping them quite often and like selling out every single time.
Is this how you feel when I talk about X-Men? I have no idea what you just said.
Your eyes did glaze over a little bit. Okay, I'll move on from that. So anyways, rumors basically start swirling that LVMH wasn't thrilled with her earnings reports over time. And it's not really clear. Like we haven't found any numbers on what exactly she was bringing in versus what the expectations were, but mm-hmm. it sounds like they were falling short. Mm-hmm. And so in February of this year, LVMH announced the suspension of the fashion house. And so they said that it wasn't the right time to start the brand because it did start right before the pandemic, essentially, or like close mm-hmm. enough in timing. Mm-hmm. And that it was in direct competition with brands that had a bigger cachet and that were like, you know, just consistently proven successful.
Right.
But they also said that COVID had an impact on their efforts. I always am like, it's a convenient thing to use right now, but I think it actually wasn't working pre-COVID.
It's when the high-level execs leave companies. They're like, we just love each other, but we just decided to part ways.
Besties forever.
You're like, no, give us the gossip. What happened? Who punched who? What's the tea? Tell us.
But don't feel bad for Riri because in 2020, she also launched her Fenty skin line, which is a gender-neutral skincare line. And so it reportedly sold around $30 million in 4 months, like the first 4 months mm-hmm. from its e-store all alone. So
she's doing okay then.
She's captured the whole body. We just need shoes at this point.
Got it. I wasn't sure if we needed a GoFundMe for her because I don't want to make sure she's doing
struggling.
All right.
Struggling. Yeah. So we also have to mention that amidst her launching all of these 5 million businesses, she's unfortunately had some legal drama with one of her own, her mm-hmm. dad, Ronald Fenty.
Right.
Get your life together.
Yeah, come on, Ronald.
You're really being a Ronald McDonald right now. True clown.
You like McDonald's.
I do love McDonald's fries. Okay, moving on. So apparently her dad started a company called Fenty Entertainment in 2017, which he described as being dedicated to developing original TV programs, motion pictures, live concerts, and recording, record producing, as well as talent. And so Riri, naturally, was not too thrilled about this. Mm-hmm. So in January 2019, she sues him and his business partner, Moses Perkins. Mm-hmm. I love that his name is Moses because I'm like, you are just not acting very biblical right now, my friend. Your behavior is quite atrocious,
get
Moses.
Get it together. You're supposed to be a role model, okay?
So Riri is suing specifically for them damaging her brand and reputation and has various other claims. Mm-hmm. So I'll do the first one. Okay. So the first one's false advertising. She claims that they
Do you still want to do the first one? Just kidding. Try again.
She claimed that they fraudulently misrepresented that they were affiliated with her and that she had that they had the authority to act on her behalf when they really did not. Shocking.
Right. And the other one, invasion of privacy and publicity. She's saying that they used her name and likeness for commercial gain, aka they used her name to make money. Without her permission. And to support both of these claims that we just talked about, she told the court that her dad actually tried to book her on an overseas tour in Latin America for 15 shows worth $15 million, plus concerts in Los Angeles and Las Vegas for $400,000 without her permission.
Also, I'm sure she's doing concerts for a little bit more than $400,000. So that was probably like the most insulting part. She was probably like, so you're selling my shit and right. underpricing me.
You idiots.
Noted.
So she went on to say that her dad claimed someone from Roc Nation authorized these concerts, but
I'm sure Jay-Z did.
No one from Roc Nation no. probably even talked to this man. No. And they weren't even aware of it. And she's saying that this damaged her reputation with venues and promoters, right? Because if they think they're going to get Rihanna, and it turns out you get Ronald McDonald, you're not going to be too happy.
I agree.
And then we got another trademark infringement claim here. She's saying that they infringed upon her Fenty trademarks, which, reminder, right? This is her dad. Fenty is both of their last names. Mm-hmm. So I think people can get this confused, right? Yep. Because it's like it's his own last name. How does this work? But she registered the Fenty trademarks we mentioned before. So her dad can't necessarily use that name for commercial purposes, essentially. That's how trademarks work.
Well, so for instance, he could probably go open like Fenty Auto Shop. I'm sure Rihanna did not anticipate that back in her heyday, so I doubt she trademarked that one. You don't know.
It just depends on what she trademarked.
But like Fenty Entertainment, you're literally in the umbrella of things that she does. That's her trade.
Right. And this bleeds into my next point, which is just a reminder that trademark infringement really hinges on confusion, right? Are people going to think that whatever you're purporting to be is associated with this other thing?
Yep.
So we talked about adore me, adore us, maybe, but I'm being generous. Mm-hmm. If I hear Fenty Entertainment,
yeah,
I'm probably going to think it's Rihanna's company because she's in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And I think it seems reasonable that people would mistake the two. Plus, she even claimed that her dad tried to file his own trademark to start a chain of boutique hotels just a year before in 2018, which was actually denied by the trademark office.
Yep.
And she says this was in violation of her trademarks, like hello. Mm-hmm. Again, it depends on the set of trademarks she filed for, but usually, especially somebody like Rihanna, who's very sophisticated in business, is going to try to trademark as many things as possible because you don't know what kind of businesses you're going to get into in the future.
Yep.
So on top of asking for about $75 million worth of damages from her dear papa, she also asked for an injunction from the court, which would prevent her father from using the Fenty name in connection with his business. So an injunction is basically you are asking the court to stop someone from doing something or to do something. Mm-hmm. So here she's asking the court to stop him from carrying out this Fenty Entertainment company. She wants to stop the damage. And it's worth mentioning that they reportedly had a fractured relationship because of the domestic violence allegations that she said occurred when she was a child from her dad to her mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
She also, sadly, claimed that her dad told the press a bunch of lies after the Chris Brown incident.
Yep.
So he does not seem like the best dad. He's giving me Meghan Markle
definitely
dad
not
vibes.
World's best dad award over there.
Right. And it's worth mentioning too that she actually tried to avoid going to court by previously sending him several cease and desist letters, which are just, it's redundant, but essentially lawyers telling somebody to stop doing something or we're going to sue you.
Yeah.
Apparently she sent him quite a few, but he just ignored them, apparently. And in response to her suit, her dad asked that it be dismissed. He stated that her brand hadn't suffered any actual damages and that he had a right to use his last name for his entertainment company. So while we think he's fighting a losing battle here, we just want to mention he can use it, like you said, I don't know, Fenty donuts. Maybe we don't
Fenty
think
Fenty dog Riri, food. Yeah. I'm sure what, she's not doing dog
what
food.
What won't be confusing here? What hasn't she filed for? And he can use it in a personal capacity, right? He can still use his name, like it's his name.
Yep.
But you can't cause confusion with consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were actually set to go to trial last month, September 2021, but she filed to drop the case right before. We don't have any details about what happened, but again, it's likely that they settled, right? Yeah. They didn't want to make this public. I'm sure it's already painful, especially for Rihanna to be having to go to court with her father. It's embarrassing. It's unfortunate. And so they probably settled. And for what it's worth, I saw that links to Fenty Entertainment Company no longer work.
Oh, interesting.
So, I mean, maybe there's a different one, but from what I could find, I think it's dead. Shut down. He probably stopped. Yeah.
All right. So while Rihanna may have worked out things with her dad, dear old daddy Ronald Fenty the clown, she's still got some things that she's working through, unfortunately.
Okay.
So during the fall 2020 fashion show for Savage X Fenty, it obviously was streamed to millions of people, right? Through the Amazon Prime Video collaboration.
Right. Talked about that. Yep.
And so Rihanna used this song called Doom by this producer, either Cow Cow or Cuckoo Chloe. We're not sure how you say her name. So we're just going to throw it all out there.
It's C-O-U-C-O-U. So you guys let us know what you think.
Yeah. Please vote.
We're going to go by poll. Chloe. Yeah, please. New poll.
So Rihanna used the song by this Chloe lady, right? And so it causes a huge uproar because the song contained a sample of holy Islamic proverbs called the Hadith.
Okay.
And so the Hadith is extremely sacred. It's like second only to the Quran, and it's supposed to be the spoken words of the Prophet Muhammad. And so, of course, a lot of viewers said it's like completely inappropriate to be used in a lingerie show. In a lingerie show that's, you know, pretty racy at that. Like she's pushing the boundaries as she always does.
Considering a lot of Muslim women cover up, I could see the issue. And even if they didn't, I could
just
see
generally,
the issue.
Just, you know, not I don't good. Know.
That's I'm uncomfortable.
Not, I guess I'm a bit more flexible. Like, I wouldn't mind if there was, like, gospel-ed lingerie show, but that's just me, you know?
Exactly.
So, like, everybody's got their own preferences. So, long story short, she uses this song that has sacred text in it for you know, for Muslim people. And so, according to Chloe, she gave two different versions of this song to Riri's team. And so, one had the Hadith in it, and one was without it. And she claims that before the show, she explicitly told Rihanna's team to use the version without the Hadith, but that Rihanna's team fucked up, essentially, and used the one that has the sacred text in it. And so fans immediately get on Twitter and flood Rihanna's Instagram comments saying that she's disrespecting Islam and her Muslim fans by using this sacred text in a lingerie show. Now, oddly enough, immediately after the show and this outcry kind of started on social media, Chloe starts tweeting, saying that she hadn't done enough research on the samples that she was using when she put together this Doom song, and that she wasn't even aware that the holy text was included. And so she's basically saying that she's now working on having it pulled from, like, online and the show. Okay. So
not buying
here's my question.
What's going on?
How did you tell Rihanna before the show which one not to use because you were saying that one version had sacred text in it, but then after the song is played, you're like, I didn't know it was in it. I didn't do enough research.
Yeah.
Which one is it? The math is not mathing.
No, you're not wrong. I saw that her, I think it was a tweet also included that she was like, I just sampled, I guess the Hadith was included on a track that she had sampled. It was like some Brazilian funk track where apparently the Hadith was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that still doesn't explain what you just pointed out, right? And in my head too, I'm like, if one was so offensive, one, why did you create it?
Yeah.
And two, why did you even give that option to Riri's team to begin with?
Yeah.
Imagine being like, here's two glasses of water. One is filled with poison. Don't drink the one with poison. Just give you the one without the poison.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
No. This lady's story is not making sense.
She needs a better PR consultant and a better lawyer.
We've got some things to work through once this comes to fruition.
Correct, correct.
So right after this all happens, Rihanna, or at least her social media manager, basically hops on their social media and issues an apology. And so I'm not saying that I think that she would have meant it. Like, I think she's a good person, and I think she does try to appeal to so many people, right? She's done all this inclusive work. I'm sure she means what's being posted on her social media. But so, long story short, it says, I'd like to thank the Muslim community for pointing out a huge oversight that was unintentionally offensive in our Savage X Fenty show. I would more importantly like to apologize to you for this honest yet careless mistake. We understand that we have hurt many of our Muslim brothers and sisters, and I'm incredibly disheartened by this. Mm-hmm. And she also ends up removing the song from the fashion show recording. So if you now go and watch that 2020 version on Amazon Prime, that song is no longer in it. So like, okay. She's, you know, she does her due diligence to like pull the things quickly and try to, you know, right her wrongs.
Mm-hmm. But following the show, mm-hmm. that does not end here, people, because Chloe said that she actually started to and continues to receive death threats and threats of decapitation and just violence in general. Yeah. Not good. So she says she's actually began suffering from depression and anxiety. It was actually forced into hiding. And she is now suing and seeking $10 million in damages from Rihanna.
Yeah.
Though, and we want to point this out, it's worth noting that she filed a lawsuit under the name Jane Doe, so essentially an anonymous filing, to protect her personal identity, since Chloe is her stage name, right? So she wants to avoid giving out any more personal details than she has to. Yep. And even in some reports, it was unclear if, I know some reports were saying they don't even know if it's Chloe that sued, but in my head, I don't know who else would sue. Yeah. It doesn't really make sense to me. I think it has to be Chloe. Right. So disclaimer here.
Yeah.
And along these lines, we can't find the complaint.
Nope.
We don't even know what damage, like what claims she's making.
What state it's in. So we know nothing.
We're about to get real adventurous here, people, because we're just going to offer up some potentials. Like
we know
if
nothing,
we were
Jon Snow.
Yes. You said it so much more nicely. Anyway, we think possibly emotional distress. That seems like the obvious one here. So it depends on the jurisdiction, but let's quickly talk about emotional distress. Let's quickly talk about
words, Alexa. We're struggling today. It's my fault. I started it.
I caught it from you. It's contagious.
Sorry.
Emotional distress claims. There's really two types, intentional or negligent. Intentional, it has to be purposeful or some very reckless conduct where the person who causes the harm is almost certain to cause that emotional distress, right? They meant to. Negligent, basically, they didn't mean to. They didn't do it on purpose, but their actions results in some harm. And most emotional distress claims actually require you to have suffered some physical harm as a result of the incident. It's possible to win without physical harm, but it's usually in like really extreme circumstances. So unfortunately, I'm going to give you a good example of this. A parent who witnesses their child get hit and killed by a drunk driver, mm-hmm. for example, mm-hmm. that is pretty extreme.
Yeah.
So they'll grant that parent at points emotional distress damages. So to win, you would have to show, like I said, evidence of suffering, like medical reports showing that you suffer from ulcers or headaches, or you know, a report from a psychiatrist or a therapist or prescription, something, right? And the more severe the incident, the higher the likelihood of winning. And then timing also plays a part in it. The longer you've suffered, the more credible your claims.
Yeah.
So in evaluating whether we think that this would, you know, Chloe's claims could win, I don't know. I mean, they'd have to, she'd have to prove, maybe she'd have to show some medical reports if she's on depression medication, anxiety medication.
Or she's been seeing a therapist. It doesn't even need medications. Like if she's seen a therapist and there's like records of her talking about, you know, being super depressed and anxious and mm-hmm. like she said, she went into hiding and all that, it could rise to the level of like, you know, it being as emotionally distressing as a parent seeing their child killed, especially when you think about like thousands and potentially millions of people threatening your life on social media.
It's about the impact, right? How much of an impact? So she'd probably go to court and show evidence of all these threats.
Yeah. Well, so there's also two other options that I think we came up with. So breach of contract is one. This was super brief. So basically, if there was a contract between Chloe and Rihanna's team that said to use the track without the Hadith, and then Rihanna used it, she could claim a breach of contract, which, mm-hmm. you know, again, means like you had an agreement, you broke it.
Right.
So that's one option. And then the last one, which is kind of a stretch, would be copyright infringement.
Sure.
And so assuming Chloe owns the copyright in the track that was played and didn't authorize Rihanna's team to use it, she could possibly sue for infringement in that way, where like they played the song without, you know, her permission.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, you know, the court's going to have to evaluate what the damages are. Is it medical bills? Is it lost profits? If people stop playing her music? Like this is truly just us speculating,
right?
Since we couldn't find the actual lawsuit filing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're actually not really sure where things stand right now because we couldn't find the paperwork and it's all very unclear.
Did the best we could.
Yeah. I'm sure there are a lot of conversations happening behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. What we do know is Rihanna's rich.
Yeah.
And this bitch will come out on top.
That is what we do know for certain. Yeah. I think that was a great summary.
Thank you.
Yep. So do you have any unsolicited, unprofessional advice for our listeners?
I would say if you're going to make a club song with sacred text in it, maybe keep that on like your private drive. Mm-hmm, share it with your close family and friends.
Definitely, speaking of Chloe here.
Definitely don't release that to the world.
Yeah. I'm going to say if you are a company that could benefit off of the good name of a billionaire, just take advantage. So Adore Me, if you're listening, just be happy that Rihanna knows who you are now. Agreed. and capitalize on it. Although, you know, if you lost customers because of it, I'm sorry. But maybe revamp yourselves, you know? That's my advice.
Love that.
Okay, exciting stuff. Now into our Q&A segment.
Q&A. Woo-hoo.
We got a question from a judgy. She asked, if I marry my baby daddy, who's in debt with IRS and old child support debt, can they come after me and my monies?
This is complicated.
Nicole, go.
Okay. Let's start with a caveat of always, like, it depends, right, on where you are and what your situation is, and you should definitely get your own attorney who is hired and experienced in your state and in this area to give you advice.
Disclaimer, this is general advice.
This is literally just general advice. This is what Google's advising you. This is what Google's came up with. JK, we know a little bit more than that, but still. So as a general matter, I mean, the rule is typically that if somebody incurs debts before they're married, those remain their debts and don't become the debt of the person that they later marry. Mm-hmm. It's worth noting, though, that, like, depending on what kind of debt they have, the debtor, the person with the debt in the marriage, could have liens against their property. Like, if it's like a house, for instance, like, there could be a lien against that if they haven't been paying their mortgage. And so, like, that could impact you. And, well, shady. It could impact you in that way, right? Like, if you move into a house and then the house later gets taken away from them because they're not paying. So yes. While, like, the monetary thing isn't necessarily a factor, life-wise, being careful. Houseless could impact you.
Being houseless could impact you. Possibly. Allegedly.
So to get into, like, the more nitty-gritty of it, right?
Yeah, let's do child support first.
Okay, fine.
Break it down for me.
All right, fine. So again, it all depends. And sorry, we have to say this as lawyers. So some states consider step-parents responsible for child support as well as, like, the actual parent, especially if there are circumstances that cause extreme hardship to the child, like if they don't have clothes and can't get transportation and things like that.
Yeah.
Again, saying again, the state might consider a step-parent, you know, on the hook.
Yeah, and if, like, the birth parent, I'll say, maybe is purposefully avoiding getting a job so they don't have to pay, and the step parent has a good job, that's another example of, okay, well, this kid is more important than any of that, so we're going to take the monies.
Yep. If you file taxes jointly, the government can absolutely take money out of your tax returns to pay the child support because the child's not going to be punished for that. So, you know, beware of how you're filing your taxes. And then joint property could also be impacted depending upon the state you live in. So again, if you own a house together, as an instance, like, that could be used as a lien if there's child support that's unpaid for long enough that the state decides to, like, take action.
Right, right.
All right, what about taxes? Tell us about taxes. You love this kind of shit.
Taxes. I did take 2 tax courses in law school.
What a pro.
And enjoyed them. Okay. So most people, you kind of alluded to this, recommend that you file separately so that the refund isn't completely taken to pay the back taxes or back taxes. Mm-hmm. So like you said, if you file together, you run the risk of half of your shit going away, right? So basically, you want to try to create as much separation as possible just in case. It doesn't mean that if you don't, that they can come after you, but we're just saying that these are things that can help.
Yeah, super nerdy, but apparently if you file it jointly and the government takes the whole refund away, or, like, doesn't give it to you, essentially, you can like, basically petition to get your amount back. But, like, who wants to go through all that? Because you have to then file with the government and get them to approve it. So, like, filing separately is seemingly what most tax advisors recommend. But, again, you should definitely hire somebody, like, who's looked at your situation.
Right. And this is also under a scenario that you're getting a refund, right?
Yep. So,
anyways.
True.
What we recommend, prenuptial agreement.
Love
get
it.
A prenup.
Love it. Sign that bad boy.
Right. Is an agreement that you enter into prior to marriage that basically sets out each person's property before getting married. So it can help basically clear, give you a clear plan as to what property should not be involved.
Yeah.
Again, does it mean that the government can never go after you, for example, mm-hmm. for child support or taxes? Not necessarily. But again, let's create as much separation within this marriage as possible just in case.
Yeah. Agreed. But again, let's just wrap this up with a nice little lawyer bow. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's definitely worth talking to a lawyer in your specific state, right? To make sure you understand the system wherever you are and that they can give you the right advice. And this is all just like super general info. Sadly, we can't be your lawyers on this one. And we also are not lawyers in all things, as lovely and smart as we seem. So this is just a little FYI and not legal advice at all.
This is not our expertise, in other words, but yeah.
Life advice, though. Maybe tell him to pay his debts before you marry him. I like a little bribery, a little extortion. Right, I would be like, if you want to marry me, you got to clear this shit up because I'm not going into this. Like, if this shit's going to hang over my head.
Allegedly. Yeah. No, I mean, financially now, if I'm not a lawyer, I would say, yeah, make this person pay back the debts first. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a good housekeeping rule, too. Yeah. And if anything, you know, not to say that past behavior will become future behavior, but worst case too, aside from this past debt, if you get married and then new debt is incurred by your spouse,
yeah,
that will get attached to you.
Right.
Right. Yep. So if he goes into more debt later, that's half of your shit.
Yep.
Essentially. So just be wary of that. Yeah. Right. So just on a personal level, let's have that person clean it up first and then get that prenup no matter what. Yeah. To say that's your stuff.
Agreed. But good luck, girl. Keep us posted.
Yeah. Okay. We are about to enter into our Patreon content segment, but we want to give a little taser, a little teasy
little taste
about what we're going to be talking about in our Patreon episode. We've gotten several requests, a lot, and we've been seeing some...
People have questions.
People, yes. And we've seen some speculation about the whole Dorit and PK Kemsley break-in that occurred just a couple days ago. And there's some speculation that it might be staged. And we've got some questions about, you know, what's going on here. Yeah. So if you want to hear us break it down, sign up for our Patreon, listen to the uncut episode.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Don't forget to tell everybody you know about us. Also, go leave us a 5-star rating on Apple and drop us the loveliest review possible, please. Don't forget, or else. Anyways, thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, join us on our Patreon for more judgy shits and giggles. Until next time.
Bye.